949-8686. And now, Phil Hendry.
Today, a message from Osama bin Laden. Support the Iraqis. Osama bin Laden voicing his support for the Iraqi regime, saying that all Muslims should support Iraq in their war against the United States. And, of course, that message takes us even closer to a eventual war with Iraq. We're talking, as you know, on occasion to the young people who fight in our military. Now, we have a young man who's actually not in the United States military. He is with a military academy in Altadena, California. It is Bradley Military Academy, and this is Cadet Collins, R.C. Collins. You're a junior cadet?
Yes, sir. I'm a junior cadet at Bradley Military Academy, scheduled for a commission in the year 2004, hopefully with the United States Army.
So you're not in the Army right now?
Well, I mean, technically, no, but we're on the front line. Everybody knows what's expected of us, so we're ready to rock and roll.
All right. Let me ask you a question here. You guys who are involved in this war, I say you're not really, you're a military academy cadet, so you're not really involved in the war.
Let me tell you something, Mr. Hendry, if I could, to clarify some things for you. We are military cadets, but it's very probable that we'll be called up, and we're very proud of that.
Are you afraid?
No, sir, I'm not afraid.
Do you think that we'll be victorious? Do we have the troops?
Absolutely, sir, we have the troops. And yes, we will be victorious. I got to tell you something, Mr. Hendry, something that it's kind of a burr under my saddle. Right now in Washington, D.C. is the Vietnam War Memorial Wall. And while I think the Vietnam veterans are to be honored, the Iraq War will provide us with also people that need to be honored. The difference between the Iraq War, which will be fought by my generation, and the Vietnam War, which was fought by maybe your generation or older, is the fact that we will be victorious in Iraq, and with the greatest of respect to the Vietnam veterans, they was not. So we believe that a wall honoring the Iraq War veterans is necessary.
Well, I'm sure that one's going to be built, right?
Well, but I think it goes further, Mr. Hendry. I think that...
In other words, this isn't about us or them. One will be built for the Iraqi veterans.
But the Iraqi veterans deserve the best possible place, and that place would be in Constitution Park.
That's where the Vietnam Memorial is.
Yes, sir. And we are requesting that the United States government now transfer that memorial to the Iraq War veterans. Our military academy, while we may not be called up immediately, stand at the ready. We have sandblasters and wire brushes where we could take those names off and replace them with Iraq War veteran names.
Wait a minute. The Vietnam War Memorial, the wall, has the names of men and women who died in Vietnam.
Yes, sir.
All right. You guys are proposing to take those names off and make that the Iraq War Memorial?
Yes, sir.
Well, it's not going to happen.
Well, I think we do have some precedent.
What?
Again, I don't know whether you want me to say it or not.
What would give you the right to take the names off the Vietnam...
Mr. Hendry, I'm not trying to be argumentative.
All right, but I feel strongly. What would give you the right to take the names off the Vietnam War Memorial and replace them with Iraq War names?
Because the Vietnam War veterans did not win their war. And,
well, I don't think...
Mr. Hendry, if I could, I think you need to understand. I believe that there should be three stages of memorials. If you won your war, then your veterans should get a memorial in Washington, D.C. If you tied your war, like in Korea, then I think places like Philadelphia or Kansas City should have your war memorial. But if you lost it, I think a very good solution is a traveling memorial. Currently, the Vietnam War Memorial does travel around the country.
Well, I know that, and that gives people who may not get to Washington, D.C., an opportunity to see a replica of it. But that's not the real memorial.
No, but the replica could become the memorial, and it travels around.
it just wouldn't have a permanent home in Washington.
No, sir, it would not.
Because they didn't win their war?
Mr. Hendry, I honor each and every Vietnam veteran.
Oh, no, no, wait a minute, man. You're saying that, but you're not really doing it with your actions. You want to go to D.C. with a sandblaster and a wire brush and start taking those names off.
No, that's just what we in our military academy volunteer to do until we're old enough for active duty. But we want to do this for our Iraq War veterans who, on account of they'll win.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Do the Iraqi war veterans deserve their own memorial? Chances are yes. They haven't even fought the war yet, but chances are yes. Do they deserve to have it in place of the Vietnam veterans? Mr. Collins here says they do because what? Because Iraq will be a victorious war and will...
It'll overshadow Vietnam, which was pretty tough to swallow. Even now, 30-plus years later, the whole Vietnam War is pretty tough to swallow.
Not to the veterans, not to the guys that fought there, not to the guys that want to go to the wall.
Yeah, but to the rest of us it is. The veterans may want to go to that wall, but the rest of us, it's pretty tough to swallow.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Why do you have to take the Vietnam Vet Memorial? You say that it's because that they didn't win their war.
Well, you see, the Vietnam War wall is reminding people that we lost. And at this time, with the impending war with Iraq, we need to instill a winning attitude. And I do honor the Vietnam veterans.
Well, why can't you just put the Iraqi War Memorial somewhere else?
The other areas are not optimum in terms of foot traffic.
What about on the Capitol Mall?
They wouldn't put it on the Capitol Mall. There's nothing there except grass, then the reflecting pool, and then the Washington Monument. And that's closed. You can't get into it because of the Al-Qaeda flying a plane into it. Also, over to the left of the monument is the Vietnam Memorial. Everybody goes there because they want to go see the monument, too. That's why it would be good for the Iraq War Memorial.
So the poor Vietnam vets have to take...
Oh, Mr. Hendry, please, not the poor Vietnam vets. I think they've had their butts kissed long enough, and I say that with great respect. But the fact of the matter is, instead of kissing butt, maybe we ought to kick some. My generation's going to go to Iraq and give them an ass-kicking. And
I will tell you this, son.
Sir, I'm a cadet. I'm not your son.
You want to get tough with me?
No, sir. I'm not getting tough with you. I'm just a cadet. I'm not your son.
Okay, cadet. The Vietnam vets served their country. They deserve a memorial.
Nobody is saying that they don't.
They deserve a permanent memorial, not one that's going to travel around the country.
What's wrong with it traveling around the country?
Then it becomes a memorial that doesn't have... And you say it's got to travel around the country because they lost their war.
It's a gradation. It's a three-step process. We're proposing three separate levels. Mr. Hendry, I want to take my children to Washington and show them my name on the Iraq War Memorial. I want to be able...
Wait, your name?
Yes, sir, because I'm certain I will be fighting over there.
Okay, and if I had been fighting in Vietnam, where do I get to show my kids my name?
I think you need to explain first that you didn't win your war and that you're going to have to go to, like, San Diego to see it or something, or, you know, or wait till it comes to town.
1-800-4... You don't say you want to disrespect them, but you are.
I don't think so, sir.
I think you are. 1-800-449-8686. William, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
I want to tell this young fella who's doing all this talking about getting his name on that memorial.
Yes,
the only
sir.
Way he can get his name on there is if they kill him. And I don't believe that he could take his children or anybody else, if he was dead, to show him his name on any memorial.
What if you win the Congressional Medal of Honor?
Then, wait.
If you win the Congressional Medal of Honor,
just a minute.
Your name will be on it.
Let the man talk, R.C.
I fought in World War II. I was in during Korea and Vietnam. I fought in 9 battles during World War II. And I served my country for 30 years. And this young fella is talking about getting his name on a memorial, which is not... That memorial is not for people who are living. That memorial is for people who died fighting for our country. And just because they supposedly didn't win that war, They won the war when President Nixon dropped the bombs on North Vietnam, and they ended the ceasefire.
What?
And if he doesn't know, he ought to read a little bit about history.
What are you talking about?
Am I talking about? I'm talking about the Vietnam War. You're wanting your name on that memorial?
Oh, but wait a second. If I do enough good stuff in Vietnam, like I blow up something, they'll put it on there because I'm a hero.
No, they won't. Heroes are not put on there, son. The only ones that are on there are people who died fighting for their country.
But that's what I'm talking about. You spent 30 years in the service, and did you get your name on it? No. All you got.
I didn't want my name on it. I'm still living.
Drinking beer or something.
No, I'm not drinking beer. I don't drink and I don't smoke. And I'm 80 years old.
You don't smoke?
No, I don't smoke and I'm 80 years old. And you're the most disrespectful young man that I have ever heard talk about this country.
Absolutely.
And you don't know what it means to be a real patriot.
Sorry, sir. I apologize.
You better apologize.
I apologize, sir. What was
you don't even know what it means to go to Washington, D.C. and see our president take the oath.
I apologize.
You don't know what it means to be in combat yet. And I hope that when you do, if you ever have to, you might not ever even get over there. You don't know for sure.
I hope I do, sir. I hope I get
well, then the thing for you to do is get of age first and then volunteer. But
I'm 16 years old.
You got 2 more years, kid.
Well, you got 2 years. The war will be over by the time you get there.
Hey, Mr. Henry, with all due respect, I'm talking to a veteran. You can take kid and shove it. Sir, could I...
Don't talk to me like that.
You didn't serve our country. Sir, could I ask you your...
How do you know if he didn't serve our country?
Because he said he didn't.
Look, I pay taxes. That's service enough.
Sir,
that's right.
Can I ask you what your rank was, sir?
Pardon me?
What was your rank? What rank did you attain?
I was a chief petty officer in the Navy.
Semper Fi.
That's the Marines.
That's the Marines. You don't know what Semper Fi is. See, you don't know beans.
Sir, could you... Is it possible to get your name on a stool down at the American Legion Hall?
On a what?
On a bar stool.
Why would I have it on a bar stool? I don't go to the American Legion.
Oh, I know.
I don't sit at the bar. I don't drink. Now, if you drink at age 16,
yes, sir,
which is possible these days, I know you kids sneak around and do it,
yes,
and
sir,
you smoke pot.
No, sir.
And you talk about serving this country.
No, sir.
Listen, son, you don't know what it means to serve this country yet. You don't even know history.
Yes,
you better get
do.
Your history book out and study and start reading about
what
the
years?
Vietnam War.
Yeah, what years
Have you ever went to a VA hospital and seen some of the Vietnam War veterans who sit there and have got legs shot off and who've got legs swollen up so big that they can't walk? And who are running around in wheelchairs.
You know, that's something I never did understand. How do you get your leg blowed off when you can just run around the explosion? I saw Sylvester Stallone do it in Rambo. And he...
Well, you don't you run what, around the explosion.
Sylvester Stallone has not anything to do with the Vietnam War.
Right. All right.
All you've ever seen is a stinking movie, and that is not real.
Sir,
if I'll tell you how to get them blowed off. They get blown off trying to save somebody else's life.
Well, that
because
doesn't...
they saved maybe onto a grenade, or they were in a shell, a shell from the cannons or something, you know?
That doesn't make
I also
sense.
Served in the Army as a second lieutenant
for
2 years.
Were you in the wax, too?
All right, smartass. Listen, William, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
I'm 1-800 that kind of people. You ought to even have him on your program.
What do you mean, was he in the wax?
Well, he's in the Navy, the Air Force, the Marines, the Coast Guard.
No, I wasn't either. I was in the Army and the Navy.
I bet you're a police explorer, too.
No, all right. William, never mind. 1-800-449-8686. Before we go on, you have to promise me something.
Yes, sir.
To have respect, especially for the men that served in uniform for this country, have respect.
Mr. Henry, I've got nothing but respect, and I honor every man and woman that ever served this country in uniform, whether they were in country or out of country, whether they were in combat or whether they were in the rear with the gear. Every last one of them I honor. And
then knock it off with the cracks about, were you in the wax, too?
Well, he said he was in all... He said...
I know what he said. He served in a lot of different things. We're talking with R.C. Collins. He's a cadet at the Bradley Military Academy. He believes that the Iraq War should have its own memorial in Washington, D.C., and it should take the place of the Vietnam War Memorial because the Iraq War will be victorious. The Vietnam War wasn't. I think that's an insult to the Vietnam vets.
Well, I don't mean to. I mean, how do you say that? What, are you telling me we won?
I just think it's an insult to the Vietnam vets.
So you're telling me we won?
I didn't say we won. I just think it's an insult to our veterans.
Then we didn't win.
All right, look it, kid. You know what I'm trying to say. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. We eat kittens.
On the line with me, R.C. Collins, a cadet at Bradley Military Academy in Altadena, California. You say you love your country, but you're talking about replacing the Vietnam War Memorial with an Iraq War Memorial that will have on it the names of the men who served in Iraq, and that the Vietnam War Memorial will be displaced and taken on the road. It will not be permanent. And you say the reason for that is because they lost the war in Vietnam, and you guys will win the war with Iraq. You're too young to even serve.
I feel confident, Mr. Henry, that I will be able to serve. And I would also at this time like to say that we propose a change in the rules on how you get your name on the war memorial. I think that if you served with distinction, you should get your name on, even if you're not dead. I would like to have my name on the Iraq War Memorial, because I think I will. Father will be visiting Bradley soon, and I would like to greet him with that news.
Your father will be?
Yes, sir.
So you think you're going to serve with such distinction you get your name on the war memorial?
Oh, absolutely, sir. I'm ready to eat my own guts. I'm psycho. Saddam Hussein, you know, if it flies, it dies.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Tom, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Tom?
Yeah, still here.
Go ahead, sir. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. Mr. Collins, I'm going to tell you something, son. You need to get a clue on life. You talk about how you're patriotic to your country.
Yes,
you
sir,
don't have a clue, young man.
Well, what are you talking about?
Let me tell you something, what I'm talking about, young man. My father was on that wall. My father served his country. And you talk about a war not won. Everybody that went over there is a winner, buddy. My father's name's on that wall, and I'd like to see your ass take it off.
Well, wait a second. Your dad's a winner?
Oh, no, don't wait a second.
Your dad's a winner?
You better get you a history lesson, buddy. Is what you need.
Your dad's 6 feet under. How's he a winner?
He's a hero. He fought for his country.
Yeah, my dad fought for my country, and I can tell you it's more than you're ever going to do, young man.
I want to fight for my country.
Oh, you want to fight. You talk about how you're a psycho?
Yes,
psycho's not the word for it, buddy. You have no respect for your country whatsoever to think that you're going to do anything to that wall and take the names of those patriotic sailors, Marine, Air, and Army personnel that are on that wall.
Well, wait a second.
I'm doing the talking, you're doing the listening.
No, the only thing your dad won was a pile of dirt on his chest.
Right, right.
Now,
that's real funny.
You know, hey, it's just a good thing you're not close enough where I could show you what that pile of dirt would look like when I got hold of your ass.
Wait a second, I respect your dad and everything.
Well, you respect all our countrymen, son. If you respected our countrymen, you wouldn't make the comments you made earlier.
Absolutely.
And let me tell you something, Mr. Henry does a service to our country, patriotic America.
All right, thank you very much, sir.
Get a clue.
Thank you. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686, Whitney Houston's dealer. The Phil Henry Show is back.
I want you to tell me, R.C., we got Cadet Collins from Bradley Military Academy, and I have your commandant on the line, by the way.
Yes, sir?
I want you to tell me, why I'm supposed to tear down the Vietnam War Memorial or allow you to take a wire brush and a sandblaster?
Well, no, I just so we can use it again. The Vietnam War Memorial will be traveling, but we can use that one for the Iraq War Memorial. But we will have to sandblast the names off.
Why should we do that?
Look, Mr. Henry, the ass-kicking we got in Vietnam was bad, but we will give an ass-kicking in Iraq. And I think that's the difference.
All right, is Commandant Wireman there?
Yes, sir, I'm right here.
Commandant Wireman, you are the head of Bradley Military Academy.
Yes, sir.
All right, I have on the line here William, and I have R.C. Collins, one of your cadets. William, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, Commandant Wireman?
Yes, Phil, I don't quite know what the problem is.
You've got a young man on the line here who is talking about tearing down the Vietnam War Memorial, and this gentleman, William, was taking exception to that.
Yes, sir.
Well, if I may.
Yes, sir.
Sir, are you a regular Army?
Yes, sir, I served with the United States Army at Pleiku.
Okay. And you're, are you still in the service?
No, sir, I'm retired.
Yeah, okay, so
I'm a retired lieutenant colonel.
I'm retired, and I'm just a plain old ensign, which after 17 years of serving as a chief petty officer in the Navy, I was promoted to ensign.
That means he was in the Navy.
Why don't you shut up a minute?
I know what it means, you idiot. Go ahead, Williams, I'm sorry.
This young man does not realize that a person can serve in two branches of the service. Then he accused me of being an explorer or some damn thing.
I said a police explorer. That's pretty good.
Would you please keep your sewer underneath your nose shut so I can listen to this man?
I served in the Pacific during World War II, and I served during Korea and Vietnam. I retired off of Guam in 1967, which the Vietnam War was still going on. And I tried to explain to this young man that...
Where's Guam?
Shut the hole under your nose. Go ahead, sir.
I tell you, you know the first thing you ought to do in the morning is kick that little butthole out of the academy because he doesn't deserve the education that he's getting from you.
Commandant Wireman, Cadet Wireman, did you say to this man that he was in the police explorers?
Sir, I admit it only...
Did you say to this man that he was in the police explorers, yes or no?
Yes, sir.
You know what I think I'm going to do? I think I'm going to have you kiss the gutter's daughter. Take it below, Mr. Henry, for the makings.
I don't even know what the police explorers is. It must be some of those kid games that they play nowadays with the 15, 16-year-old kids.
I think it's some kind of a molestation deal. Well,
if I may jump in.
Would you shut the hole under your nose?
No, it's Mr. Henry, Commandant Wireman.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir.
The police explorers, William, is a youth program that the police have. It's much like Boy Scouts, only it's run by the police.
Oh, well,
I
donate money to them every year for here in Florida.
How could you give them money when you don't even know what they is?
Would you shut the filthy sewer under your nose?
You mean what they are?
Huh?
You mean what they are or what they is? You can't even speak good English.
You don't even speak English very good.
Oh, yeah?
You said what they is.
No, it's what...
You're
no, he was...
said what they is.
You said what they is. He's quoting it back.
You're a... You know...
Sir,
you know,
Mr.
son,
William,
you...
sir, father donated a lot of money for the Commandant's ball. I'll never get kicked out of Bradley.
My bare ass. I will have you out in civvies on the street tomorrow.
You bet. And that's where he belongs.
Well, you disrespect... As a matter of fact,
the reason he's there is because his father and mother don't want him.
What did they?
That's the truth. That's why they send you to places like that with the attitude that you have.
William, sir, I can assure you father won't like this.
Well, I don't care what your father likes. Yeah. I don't know him, and I don't ever want to know him if he's anything like you.
Bend over. You're kissing the gutter's daughter.
No, sir.
Yes.
Well,
I did that with a... We use sugar cane, William. We can use a Raton cane on them, and we hit the bare end of their feet. I can tell you something. It doesn't leave a bruise, and it can certainly cause a great deal of pain, sciatic, all the way up the back.
Well, he's got enough sciatic. He needs...
What the hell is going on?
None of your business. Yeah, I love it.
He's a psycho, I think.
Good Lord.
You better get rid of that kid or else he's going to ruin your whole academy.
Hey, William, when you fought with General Lee, did you get a lot of that Southern porn?
Okay, that's it.
Well.
Ah!
There, you bastard.
I didn't serve with General Lee. I was from the North.
All right, now, William, we're going to take a drill to his nuts.
Bastard. Faithfully.
Yes, sir. God bless you,
too. Take that boy to the Vietnam...
Yes.
Or to the Vietnam hospital or to the VA hospital someplace and show him what those boys and men went through over there.
My mother made me lie with her every time she had her special orange juice.
All right, I'm taking a sandblaster to your gonads. Filthy-mouthed little piece of garbage.
You need to get rid of that boy out
Absolutely.
Of your academy because he's going to ruin the rest of the good men
right.
that are there.
Hey, William, this is interesting. I have another veteran calling in. His name is Lloyd in Alhambra. Lloyd, are you there?
Yes, sir, I'm here, and I want to back up what William was saying in the Commandant. I served my country in the United States Navy as well, William. I was with the U.S. Navy at Chosin Reservoir when we pulled the Marines out of there in Korea. And I'll tell you something right now. This little... Oh, why did you get a piece of fat and slide off? Why, you fil... All right.
Shut the hole under your nose.
It's too bad that he has been raised the way he has.
Absolutely.
And
yes,
his,
I
believe
hope.
Really and truly that his parents are at fault and they've gotten rid of him because he has this attitude and he's probably a spoiled brat.
Hey, William, did you ever have to fight a dictator?
You mean dictator, you dumbass.
About dictators, I talk about dictators. You
don't speak good English.
Who do you think Hitler was?
A dictator?
No, he was a dictator, not a dictator, as you call it.
Yes,
you don't even know how to speak.
I am so ashamed of the fact that this young man... At...
What do you mean, a dictator?
Okay, that's it. I'm done with this foul-mouthed little piece of crap. Listen, William, for all of the service to our country, we appreciate it very much.
Well...
You're a fine man, and thank you very much for still being with us. So many
you
of
know
our
what
World
to
War
do
II
with,
vets are...
I tell you what to do with that young fellow. They're in California, right?
Yes, sir.
Take him out about 5 mile or 10 mile or 50 mile and drop him off in deep water. That'd be the best thing ever happened to this country.
Preferably from an airplane.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Yeah, way up.
All right, sir. Thank you very much, William.
You bet. Bye.
All right, bye-bye. A dictator.
Well, I didn't know.
Oh, shut up.
Shut the hole under your nose. Shut your filthy sewer.
You...
All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Pure exhibitionism.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Since their two brothers were arrested for their alleged role in a scam that swindled 71 grandmothers around the country out of more than $309,000, according to authorities. Now listen to this. Will and Angelo Forgax, both of New York City, were arraigned on fraud charges. They said the suspects called elderly women from cell phones Get a load of this. They called elderly women from cell phones pretending to be their grandchildren. The suspects would tell the grandmothers they needed money to cover a debt and that they would send a friend over to pick it up. The suspects also begged the grandmothers not to tell family members to spare them the embarrassment. 41 of the victims who ranged in age from 75 to 87 were New Yorkers. Authorities said the ring also operated in California, Connecticut, and Florida. Most of the victims were built out of $4,000 to $6,000 each. I got an idea. See this phone number? Call this number for me, will you? Just call it. I'll put it up on the board when you get it. That's it. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, hello.
Grandma?
Yeah, hello.
Grandma?
Yeah.
Hi, it's your grandson.
It's my grandson. It's just, who is this?
It's your grandson, then.
Who is this?
It's your grandson, Ed.
Oh, dear, how you doing? How are you, honey? I was thinking about you today.
Well, I'm doing good, Grandma.
How are you? I was thinking all about you today. I remember when you were just a baby, and I would wash you and rub your bottom with olive oil and give a little kiss. I remember that all that time.
Yeah, I you did? I mean, I do remember that, Grandma. That was...
And then you remember when Grandma used to put you in bed with her and rub you all up and down in your private place and that...
No, I don't. I mean, Jesus.
What'd you say?
No, nothing at all. Listen, Grandma.
Yeah.
I'm a little light this week. I was wondering if you could lend me a couple $1,000.
Well, you white man trying to mess with me. I would never...
What are you laughing at?
She knew you were her grandson.
How do you know?
Because she's messing with you.
No, she wasn't. She said that she remembered me.
Then she said you were a white man. What a lame ass.
Oh, yeah? Well, I'm going to tell you something, smart ass. Sisyphus, not syphilis.
What's the name of the Greek god?
Sisyphus. I may not be able to con some old lady, but at least I know my Greek gods. Syphilis.
His name is Syphilis.
No, it's not, jackass.
Well, who's uterus?
All right, well, uterus. There wasn't any freaking uterus. There was syphilis. Shut up!
You're lame. You call up an old lady, she don't give you money.
You try it.
What are you talking about?
You try it, smartass. Go ahead.
Well, if you insist.
Go ahead! Listen to this. Call the same number.
Hello. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on for a minute. I gotta get to the phone.
That's all right.
Hello? Hello? Oh, hello.
Yeah, Grandma?
Yeah.
Hi, this is your grandson, Norvin.
Oh, Norvin, how you doing, honey? I was thinking about you today.
Well, that's great.
You need to borrow some money?
Yeah, I do. I need about $3,000.
All righty. What's your mailing address?
610 South Ardmore, Los Angeles.
You got it.
There, see? You're just a jackass, that's all. That's your problem.
$6,000, huh?
That's what she said. Three, I forget what.
So how come she didn't give it to me?
I don't know, because you're stupid, because you're lame. Because you think it's syphilis and it's syphysis.
God, I want to hurt him. I want to hurt him.
Any other problem? You know the real reason?
No, tell me. Why don't you enlighten me? How is it you got 3 G's out of that old bat and I didn't?
You sound white.
I sound white?
Yeah.
All right, I sound white. Call that old lady back. Watch this.
Oh, come on. I sound like a brother.
Bull crap, you call her back.
Yeah, hello.
Grandma.
Look, white boy, don't bother me, all right? I got to get this other line.
See?
What do you mean, see? Go ahead, call her back.
Hello?
Yeah, Grandma. What am happening?
All right, where do I send the money?
All right, buzz off.
No, but
get out of here. What's this paper, The Myth of Syphilis?
I'm doing it on syphilis.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Don't forget, of course, our website is philhenryshow.com, where you can listen to all of these great bits. PhilHenryShow.com, PhilHenryShow.com. We have our souvenir shop. It's open for business. All of our Best Of CDs are there. And this year's Best of the Phil Henry Show CD entitled World Famous is available online or by calling this number, 877-616-7445. The Best of the Phil Henry Show CD for the year 2002 is called World Famous. And here is the best of the best. It's a two-CD set. Not one, but two for the same price as one. So this year, we're doubling up on the material, and you still get it for the easy price of $20, $350 shipping and handling. All of the money, by the way, goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood, California. And they've been doing their great work for the last 13, 14, 15 years helping out those kids. So call the number 877-616-7445 or go to our website, philhenryshow.com. That's PhilHenryShow.com. And go into our souvenir shop to pick up on the best of the Phil Henry Show. While you're there, get a backstage pass, only $6.95 a month, and it'll give you access to our 30-day archive and our live streaming and all that other stuff. I just got a great idea. Why don't we make the website free for any member of the military? Okay?
Can I join the military?
Very rainy day in Los Angeles. We've had a lot of accidents, a lot of trouble traveling. And one of the things that keeps us traveling, of course, is gasoline. And we've spoken with Vernon Dozier. He is a high school football coach at Belmar Academy in South Pasadena, also a math teacher, and also part owner of a service station in the Pasadena area. And I hope you're staying dry today, Mr. Dozier.
We're trying, Phil.
The price of gas, I wanted to bring this up today. I got gas yesterday. It was $2.02 a gallon. The price of gasoline here in the L.A. area, and I'm sure across the country, is going up. We're now at $2 a gallon here in L.A. anyway. Many say it's the advent of war. Because of the advent of war, there's gouging, price gouging. What would you say to that?
Well, that's the party line, I guess, Phil. That's the way out. That's people blaming me and other service station owners for what is their problem and their own fault.
How so? You mean the fault of the consumer?
That is correct.
How so?
Well, the price of gas goes up, Phil, primarily in response to a lot of different things. One of them is overhead at any service station. Repair is one part, but most of the overhead at service stations is as a result of keeping the public facilities, the coffee areas, the air pump, etc. And the price of gas is going up and down depending upon many aspects, upon how well customers are treating the facility and whether or not they want to respect my place of business, or treat it like some garbage dump, or come in and get gas, or come in and get coffee and leave stuff laying around.
Are you talking about, like, restrooms and things? I mean, if people are... The first thing I think of at a gas station that isn't treated well, I guess, is a restroom.
Well, you can start with the restrooms. They're filthy. Most people that come into... And I don't mean any disrespect by this, but most people who use service station restrooms are like animals, and I think they understand that. When they use the... They don't flush the toilet. The mothers are leaving their filthy diapers in the sink. I've come in to clean the restroom area. My brother-in-law operates the station, and during the summertime, I help him. When there is no school, and we have found filthy diapers, people urinating on the seat, and I can tell you, Mr. Andrea, ever since I guess I was about 15 years old when I saw my father, who was in the service station, he was actually in the retail end of gasoline sales, and I always wanted to own a piece of a service station to help folks repair.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but you're saying that, in other words, the price of gas goes up because it's tougher to keep the station clean?
Well, you're buying paper towels, you're buying toilet paper, you're buying seat covers, you're buying more stir sticks. In other words, when people come into your service station and treat it like it's a garbage dump and act like animals, you have to...
You've used the word animals twice. Do you like your customers?
Of course I do. Yes, I do, Phil.
Because you're sounding like they're coming in and doing this on... I guess they are doing it on purpose.
Well, they are doing it on purpose, but I don't think they mean any ill... They're not angry at me, necessarily. It's just the way Americans are. They do not... They're not a very clean people. I've always loved being clean. Being clean is important to me. I like being clean. My family, I think we're fastidious people. Then I have to go to the gas station in the summer. And I can tell you that's just like taking a boot to the stomach. When I walk into a bathroom and I see it hasn't been flushed, you can see that a woman has put her mini pad down a toilet. I mean, you better believe I'm going to adjust my prices for the amount of time that I have to spend taking a hanger and pulling some woman's mini pad out of the toilet. Now, I will adjust the prices.
All right, I want to be clear. Across the board, the gasoline prices go up. Because at least in part, you guys have a serious amount of overhead in terms of dirty bathrooms and the way the customers treat the service station.
That is correct. And I really resent people saying that we gouge because of the war or we're gouging because of the price of oil. In part, sometimes that's the reason. But for the most part, the amount of money that I spend on those paper towels, for instance, the blue ones that you use to wipe off your windshield, those are very expensive. Well, people use those things to wipe their armpits, blow their nose, rubbing it up and down in areas. What is the point when that is specifically used for cleaning out windshields? The coffee area, the stir sticks are thrown all over the place. The little creamer cups are thrown all over the place. People are using the cups, little children. And I know it's cute for a lot of people, but when the little children take those cups out and then put them on their face and start blowing into them and making noises, I'm sure you've heard a child, they go, boo. Yeah, I'm sure you've heard that.
Yeah. In fact, I have to be honest with you. I'm an adult, and I still do that myself.
Well, all right, but that costs money. You want to know why your price of gas is going up? A lot of things cost money.
All right, hold on, Vernon. Vernon Dozier, he's a part owner in a service station. I wanted to get on people that are operating in the retail end of gasoline sales because the price of gas is going up these days. I don't know if you noticed it or not. I don't know what you're paying in your town. I'm paying $2 a gallon. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The price of gasoline is obviously something that is affected by a lot of different things, correct?
Absolutely. I mean...
The price of oil, the war worries... And these things, people believe they're being gouged. In other words, dishonestly gouged.
No, I do not do it. No one I know does it. We do not gouge. We are reacting to market pressures. And one of the areas that we have not brought up, but I'm bringing it up, is the American public, without proper manners, acting like pigs, raising the price of gas, because I have to recoup the money that I lose scrubbing out toilets, prying some woman's maxi pad out of a toilet, crying some child's diaper out of a, you know, I come in and the sink is full of diapers that are full of all this baby nonsense. And then I got to go, and all of this stuff costs me money. Now, how do I make that money back? There's only one way.
Well, how does it cost you money to clean out a bathroom?
It's time away from my customers, or I have to hire somebody to do it. I've got to pay him. How do I make the money back on that? I jack the price of the gas. For instance, the coffee cups. How do I make my money back on the coffee cups? I have to price jack the price of the gas. So it isn't, I'd love to blame it all on the Arabs, but sometimes you have to call a spade a spade. The animals that come into,
See, you've called the American people animals now. This is the third time you've referred to people that come into your gas station as animals.
Ask anybody that's been into the restroom of a service station. They know exactly what I'm talking about. The toilet ain't flushed. There's pee everywhere. I had to take a coat hanger. Last August, I had to take a coat hanger and pry out some guy, and I don't know if you want me to say it, had taken a dump, and it was...
All right,
I mean, what do you call somebody that leaves their stir stick on the counter? That's a pig. A living, breathing, walking, four-legged pig. And I've got to clean that up? Let me tell you what. I'll jack the price of my gas.
Vernon Dozier's with us. You sound angry.
No, Phil, I'm not angry. But let me tell you something, and I want you to hear me very clearly, and I want your listeners to hear me very clearly. When we raise the price of gas, it isn't always the fault of the Arabs. Because there's a day when I come home, and my hands smell like human waste, and I swear to the Christian God, and I swear a blood oath, that if I got to go into the women's room one more time and pull some Kotex out of a toilet, I'm going to jack the price of the gas. Now, I'm not angry, but I will not have it stuck to me. And I think that this time, when we are about to go to war with Iraq, this is when they say it's my fault. Well, I'm going to tell you something. It's not my fault. Take a look at your wife. Take a look at that box of tampons. She says, excuse me, I got to take care of some business. Then maybe what you could do is say, try not shoving it down the toilet this time, okay? I'd like to get this gallon of gas for less than $3. You understand what I'm saying?
So it's more punishment than anything else.
Yes, it is punishment, and it is the price of doing business. The reason why gas is $2 a gallon is because the average motorist, when he comes into a service station, gets his coffee, leaves the stir stick lying around, pours sugar on the counter. And here's the other thing. You know the penny tray, Phil? This is very interesting. You know the penny tray which says take one if you need one and leave one?
Yeah.
Okay. Every last one of those pigs that come into my store take a penny. I saw an old lady take a handful of them, look at me, and smile. Man, I was reeling for an hour on that one. I was walking around talking to myself. I put a tray out that says, take a penny if you need one. And this old lady comes into my store, takes a hold of the pennies, and smiles at me.
All right, if it's necessary because of overhead, I get it. But if it's punitive, Mr. Dozier, that's punishment. And that's the area that I don't quite understand. I'm going to give our phone number out here, 1-800-449-8686. Does that guy sound angry to you? Because he sounds that way to me. We're talking to Vernon Dozier. The man is part owner of a service station. Why is the price of gasoline close to $2, if not over $2 a gallon? Is it war worries? Is the price of oil going up? Are we being gouged? What he just told me is the price of gasoline goes up many times because people misuse the facility. The restroom's filthy. He's got to clean it up. The stir sticks are left lying around. He's got to clean that up. In other words, it's overhead cleaning up after filthy customers, according to Vernon Dozier. 1-800-449-8686. I don't know if you've been getting gasoline lately, but the next time you see $2 a gallon, consider the fact that the toilet is backed up. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show will be right back.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Kittens are tasty.
1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
I'm talking to a service station owner. His name is Vernon Dozier in California about the fact that gasoline prices go up for a lot of reasons. One of the reasons is the misuse of the facility by customers. You were talking about the filthy restrooms.
That is correct, yeah.
And the way they misuse the coffee counter.
Well, the price, Phil, is variable according to a lot of different things.
Well, here's what I wanted to ask you. If they don't like the price of your gas, they'll go someplace else.
Well, I mean, it doesn't matter. The price is going to be the same everywhere else.
Okay.
I mean, because this is every service station owner knows what I'm talking about. It's because the other operators feel the same way. Now, people want to change their filthy ways and start cleaning up after themselves, learn how. The other thing I don't like is in the morning I'll come in and realign the candy counter where you have the Almond Joys or what have you and the Mounds bars or what have you in one area. And there's this one woman comes in. Oh, man, this is some kind of a piece of work. This broad or the woman comes in and she takes the Kit Kats and she loves to move everything around. Now, I put the Kit Kats or what have you over in that area, in the right area with the Heath bars. And this P-I-T-C-H, that's the only thing I want to call her, so.
All right, well, watch the language, okay?
I'm sorry, but she's moving everything around, and I go over and I, you know, you're talking to yourself, so I'll jack the price because that's time out of my life to rearrange the candy rack.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Gasoline prices go up for a lot of reasons. One of the reasons is, I guess you guys are not using, proper hygiene in the bathrooms. April, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, my question is, or my thought is if they're messing up the bathrooms, then charge them to use the bathrooms. If they're messing up their coffee station, then raise the price on your coffee.
Well,
if I never come into your gas station and all I do is pull up and buy gas and leave, why should I pay more money for gas?
Exactly. See, you're being punished because these other people are acting like pigs. Yes.
If you're jacking up the prices because the coffee station is messed up or because your life is screwed up because the candy bar section is messed up, no, I shouldn't have to pay more money for gas when the money could be recouped in other ways.
That's a good point.
Well, no, it's not a good point, Phil. I'll tell you why. I can't jack the price on the coffee. I can't. First of all, how am I going to make them pay? Pay toilets have been outlawed in the United States for the last 5 years, so I can't charge them to use a toilet. See, that's what they used to keep blacks out of the toilets at one time. You know, it cost you a quarter to use the toilet. Most blacks didn't have a quarter, so they used pay toilets. Now you can't do that. Now, and the other thing these people do is they leave the soda fridge door open, and I'm not here to cool a whole freaking block off. You know what I'm saying? So that costs electricity.
And well, that doesn't address the question. What do you mean blacks? Why is this racial?
Because that's why they had pay toilets at one time.
All right, well, what's the question the lady asked about, what was it, April, about the coffee?
If the coffee station is constantly a mess, then raise the price per cup of coffee by a nickel to recoup that cost.
I can't. That's not even
going to
bring.
But the thing is, you run that gas station.
They don't use enough coffee to help recoup. In other words, the gasoline is what pays for everything. They don't use enough.
But why should I have to pay for somebody else's mess when you can find other ways to recoup your money?
Because I can't recoup my money. Look at the amount of time I got to spend cleaning up after some pig that came in and poured cream and coffee all over the place doesn't recoup enough money. One guy buys coffee, he dumps it everywhere. I can get it off of you. Now, you're right. You should.
And how is that fair? Explain to me how that is even logically right.
I think it's only right because.
Because it's the only way.
No,
it's the only way.
Yeah, she's got a good
you
point.
Can make more money.
Why is it
without
fair?
Getting in trouble?
No, because the odds are, April, at one
because
time.
Because it's not regulated well enough, and you won't get busted for raising your gas.
The reason
prices.
The reason why you have to pay is because the odds are, at one time or another in your life, and probably more than once, you shoved a maxi pad down a toilet yourself. Or
okay,
you
and you
did.
Don't
now,
even know
on.
Me, so let's
you,
not
yeah,
even,
let's
go,
not even go there.
But,
so
you,
here.
But you know that you've left the toilet unflushed at one time or another. I mean, this is only human.
Well, if it's only human, then what are you bellyaching about it?
Because I got to go in and flush it.
Do you own the gas station or do you just work there?
I'm part owner.
Okay, so when you got into this ownership,
yes, ma'am.
You understood what you were getting into.
I understood, ma'am, that I wanted to operate a service station, but nobody told me that I had to go in with a hanger and pull a
coat.
Have
you never gone into a gas station prior to going into ownership for this gas station? Have you never been in a bathroom in a gas station to see what some of these places look like?
The bathrooms that I've been into were beautiful, spotless. spotless. You could eat off the floor.
Oh, my God. Where? There's a gas station bathroom.
My next point was going to be
people
is that...
People are pigs, and this has gotten out of control, and I won't be surprised to see a sanitary pad right next to the French vanilla cream on the coffee counter. That's how bad it's gotten. So I am trying to get people in line. Because I'm telling you right now, I'm going to walk in one morning, and I'm going to see a sanitary napkin sitting next to...
Okay, sir, you know, please. I mean, enough of that.
Well, that's what's... And if I have to walk into the bathroom one more time and clean up some ass nugget that...
Okay.
Why don't you just find something else to do?
Because I love gas stations. I love repairing cars. I didn't know that, repairing a car, that I'd also have to wipe up after some kid. You know.
Because it doesn't sound like you love what you do.
I love it. It's that the people are
I can tell you that where I'm from, there's a certain chain of gas stations. I won't mention the name. But their gas prices, on average, are a dime less than most big-name gas stations or even the mom-and-pop places, and they are the cleanest gas stations in town.
Oh, but you know how they do that? You think
they don't gouge me on my gas prices because your toilet's backed up.
You think you're paying a dime less, but they're giving you less gas.
What are you talking about?
What I'm saying is it's pumping not as much gas as a normal station is.
So she's
and that's against the law. So if they get caught doing that, they will be federally prosecuted.
Well, there you go. See,
so
at least I'm being honest enough. I'm being honest enough to tell you, please keep your Kotex out of my...
All right, would you please not anymore? We got it already. All right, April, thank you very much.
No problem.
1-800-449-8686.
You know, Mr. Henry, if I could.
Go ahead.
You know, there's a lot of people who are blaming me and saying that this is my fault. Oh, boy, I'll tell you. First of all, those guys that are selling gas for 10 cents less, the gas is cheaper because it's crap you put into a weed eater, okay? You don't run an automobile with it. It's lawnmower gas.
Now, what's the difference?
Lawnmower gas powers a lawnmower. You put it into an automobile, and I guarantee you're going to have dirt and grime and black sludge and carbon inside your engine within minutes after you roll out of the gas station. All I'm asking people to do is flush a toilet, for Christ's sake.
All right, I realize he's angry. 1-800-449-8686. Why are you paying more at the gas pump? Because you're leaving behind filth in the bathroom. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. We have a service station owner on the line. You say you're doing a lot of this, Mr. Dozier, and we're talking with Vernon Dozier, part owner of a service station in Pasadena, California, to punish your customers for leaving behind unflushed toilets and stir sticks.
Some of it is, yes, sir. At least I'm honest enough to admit it, okay?
Don't you think that's a little childish?
At least I'm honest enough. Well, you call me, you infer that I'm not adult. You infer that I'm childish. I would say to you that I'm the one who's admitting it, and all these other guys don't. And so I'm the one that's got to take the heat. And I come on your radio show, and I say, yes, if you're going to make me go in with a hanger and bust apart some load a guy left in there, then what do I get out of that? What do I get out of that? I would ask you that, Mr. Henry. What do I get out of that?
You're the owner of the station. I mean, you can hire someone to clean. You could maybe fix the plumbing.
The answer, Mr. Henry, is I don't get anything out of that. So I'm going to jack the price, and somebody's got to pay for that. I come home smelling like human waste. I work at a gas station. I should come home smelling like oil and cars and good things, which I've always loved in my life. I shouldn't come home smelling like human waste.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Let me go over here. I want to get to Donald because he's been hanging on. Donald?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Yes, sir. You own a service station, correct?
Yeah, I'm an Amoco BP dealer in the state of Florida for 8 years.
Go ahead.
And, you know, with this guy has absolutely no clue as to the business. I don't even believe he owns a service station.
All right, let me ask you a question. I am part owner with my brother-in-law
And I was told not to say who the station I work for.
I'd rather you not.
Well, it doesn't. Okay. I'm proud of who I work for and who I'm a dealer for.
I'm proud of who I'm a dealer for too. But I, you know.
Well, I don't want to get sued because you're having to take maxi pads out of a toilet by some gasoline chain.
Look, I do what I got to do. All I'm telling you is what you've been saying is a whole bunch of crap.
Do you like pulling maxi pads out of toilets?
In our business, you have to be competitive with every station within a 2-mile radius
Absolutely.
Of your store.
Absolutely.
Okay. You get. I don't know if you're a major or like an off-brand. Okay. If you're a major, you get at 12 o'clock midnight. You get price changes from your company. Okay. Say at midnight tomorrow, the price of gas is going up 3.5 cents.
Who do you work for? Amoco.
Yes.
Now you're on the East Coast.
Yes. I'm
no,
in
it's
state
a whole
Florida.
Different ballgame out here, my friend. We got refineries out here on the
okay,
West Coast.
Okay. But I'm saying
we got refineries
to you
out
is,
Pedro.
All I'm saying to you
I'm
going to
stick
guys,
my bare hand into a toilet.
In our business, you make your money in your convenience store, okay? In Florida, we work on maybe a 3 to 7 cent a gallon
well,
margin,
do you do,
okay?
What do you do when someone's moving the Kit Kat bars and all of that nonsense?
What do? We readjust it back. You know why? Because they're our customers. And that's the service we give our people.
That's true,
you know?
But they have no right to come in and mess all the candy display up. After I did it good.
Look, when I go into a restaurant, I have little kids. Sometimes they'll have accidents. They'll spill a soda. They'll drop a napkin on the floor.
Good point.
I'm not going to get down and pick up the napkin.
That's a good point.
Because that is part of going into a restaurant. Okay?
But the ones
I'm not
that are,
doing it purposely.
But with the ones that are messing up, this was a woman who took all the Heath bars and stuck them over where I had Almond Joys.
Simple. Ask the woman not to come back. Is that your only customer? Ask the woman not to come back.
Okay, but still, I've got to put up with the stress and the strain of dealing with this.
That's the business we're in, sir. That's the business that we're in.
I got into the service station business because I love automobiles. I love repairing them. I love
seeing them. Well, I don't have repairs. I have a car wash and a convenience store.
All right. I don't know. Let me ask Donald. Sorry. Do you ever raise your prices to punish your customers for leaving unflushed?
Absolutely not.
Oh,
I could never.
On.
What am I going to do? This guy I don't like, I'm going to raise my price 2 cents a gallon.
Well, what about that
the guy, the guy across the street from me is not going to raise his price.
Exactly,
I lose business.
Well, what about that old whore that stole the pennies from me? What about that?
You ask her not to come back, or you ask her to give you the pennies back.
That
you can't penalize
whore?
Other customers. These are the backbone of your business.
It is something.
And I would imagine, sir, the people that you're talking about, if you have a successful business, is a very, 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 very small percentage of the people that walk through your place.
Absolutely. Thank you, Donald, for your call. I thought that was a very sensible man. Who?
Well, you see, he thinks he's all high and mighty because he's an Amoco dealer. I'll tell you something. These guys that work for the majors, and they're making money hand over fist. And there's a guy down the street from me, and he's got a union station, and he thinks he's God's gift to.
Do you work? The guy said off-brand. What does that mean?
It means a smaller distributor.
Union, by the way, is Union 76, which is a West Coast brand, right?
Yes, sir. It's that guy that I talked to just now. I had a BP. That's British Petroleum. Those guys think their stuff doesn't stink.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Brad. Go ahead, Brad.
Hey.
Yes, sir.
I'd like to comment on that fella about the gasoline. About the gasoline that you said was different. Did you put in a lawnmower, a cheaper gas?
Yes, sir.
You are full of it. I haul gasoline to your stations for a lot of years, sir, and that is no different than any other gasoline you put in the car. Now, don't come along and tell these poor people that don't understand.
Brad, this is Phil Hendry. I want to ask. So if I go to the gas station and I ask the guy, I want some gas for my lawnmower.
He goes in the back and gets this lousy garbage they got. It's the lousy stuff.
No. You can't fool all
like
people all the time.
64
and, you know, you sound like you have a personal problem anyway.
Why?
If you smell like human waste when you go home, sir, why don't you clean up before you go home?
Because the fact of the matter is that I, as a service station owner, shouldn't have to be sticking my hand into a diaper full of load.
It's no different than any other business. If you can't handle her, if you can't run on the porch with the big dog, jump off. You don't sound like you should
well,
be in business.
Well, you know something? That's all very nice that you say that. But I'm here to tell people the truth, that Lawnmower Gas is part Coca-Cola, part fuel.
Well, I can't really tell you
stuff.
What I would think because you are
know.
Full of it. And you have
hey,
another
Brad, you drive tanker trucks?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Oh, all right. You drive for one company or all the companies?
I drive for all the companies.
Well, so...
Well, he doesn't know anything about gas. He's hauling it behind him. The only thing you know is how it smells.
Yeah, that's right. And most of it comes out of the same thing.
Hey,
so
let me ask you something.
The additive.
Hey, Brad.
And there's something else you said was
Brad,
a lie, sir.
Brad, have you ever tried to get ass nugget soup out from under your fingernails? No, you haven't.
Listen, you smart ass. You said
haven't.
That there were stations shorting people a gallon of gas. That's a lie. That is regulated, federally regulated. You know it is. That's
of course I do. But you know that service stations will make the gas coming out of that pump a little, like a little a trickle, and it'll be bringing up a big $20 price,
nope,
and you're getting a half a gallon of gas.
Nope,
well, wait, that's
wrong.
Impossible
you're
because
wrong.
When I turn the key, I'm going to see if I got a full tank.
You'll get a full tank, yeah, for $100.
You're crazy.
You're nuts. All right, now listen, Brad.
Hey, listen, pal. Don't you drive the truck, man. I'm the guy that operates the service station.
Don't even operate a service station. You sound like you've got a personal problem.
No, sir, I don't. When you find a toilet seat in the potato chip section, then you won't be so Mr. I Haul Gas Big Shot. Jesus, the stuff that comes out, it's like a kid taking a pee. No, he thinks he's a big shot. God.
Yeah,
all right, okay,
big
Brad.
Shot.
No, you think you're a big shot because you all gas.
No, sir, I go to a lot of different gas stations, and there's nobody around that I ever see with the mess that you're talking about.
Okay.
You are just simply out of place. And I'm sorry, I don't have time to argue.
How much
with
are
you
they?
Because you aren't going to.
What's
I'm
the
not,
price? What's a gallon of gas up where you live? What? How much?
$1.79 right
$1.79.
Right,
well, it's $2 out here, and you want to know why?
So what? It'll be
we
$2 around here too.
We got pigs living out here. Maybe you got cleaner
yeah.
people.
Maybe I'm glad I'm not on the East Coast. Then if everybody's like that. Huh?
Well, hey, I'm not on the East Coast. I'm on the West Coast, Mr. I Haul Mobile.
No,
well,
I don't
whatever.
Haul mobile.
Right.
I haul them off. And yeah, what difference does it make?
Maybe you want to haul ass instead of gas, Pedro. Because
hey, yo, man, come on. Listen, Brad, thanks for your call. Thank you. 1-800-449-8686. How do you keep customers with an attitude like that?
Mr. Henry, I have...
No, how do you keep customers with an attitude like that? You jack the price of gas on them. You call them pigs. The one lady, you called her a whore. God, you called her an old whore for taking too many pennies? 1-800-449-8686. Sonia, go ahead.
Hi. My question, or my comment rather to Van or Vernon was, if he had thoroughly researched this business, he would know that that was unfortunately part of the parcel. That I know that, I've not even researched it, but if I go into a gas station, it's very likely that it's going to be fairly disgusting in there because I've been through quite a few gas
stations.
Okay,
all right, that's fine. So what am I supposed to do, sit there and take it? Or do I customers to act like human beings instead of like they're living in Baghdad, because that's what these people do over there.
Okay, but just a comment as
well,
then, is that if you apply punishment to somebody, it has to be connected with what they're being punished for. And jacking the price of gas because of coffee or stirrers or for, you know, not very nice toilet usage is not connecting a punishment with
but
the actual
deed. Let me, Sonia, I don't know what you do for a living. I'm in retail gasoline sales.
Right.
All right. They spill nacho cheese at the hot nacho cheese counter, and they got four chips, okay? So what they've got is 6 pounds of cheese and four nacho chips. Mm. You know whose ass that comes out of? Mine. And what am I supposed to do?
And I understand that, Ben, and I have worked in retail in my
jack
past.
Jack the price of the cheese.
Six pounds of molten cheese for one chip.
Right, and I understand where you're coming from, and it's not very nice because a lot of people listening have worked in retail before, but if people move around stuff, unfortunately, it has to be moved back, and that is the responsibility of the shopkeeper.
Well, that's true,
the store owner.
Ma'am,
and that's just part of the process, and actually...
Yeah.
Well, what I do for a living is I'm a dog trainer, and puppies and dogs have accidents sometimes, and I have to clean it up quite often.
This is maybe if you think people are animals, Vernon, this may be the lady.
Let me ask you something. We're in America. And we don't call them shopkeepers here. We call them, we're store owners.
Let's go, shopkeeper, sorry,
sounds,
I
like,
apologize,
you're, sounds like you're some little old lady with wire-rimmed glasses and you're selling, condoms. Now,
right, okay, my
Jesus,
point
the,
is
yeah,
that that's unfortunately part of the business.
Is gas expensive in Australia, or do you have refineries? I'm sure you have refineries there.
I wouldn't know because I'm from England. But my point is, if you like the smell of gas and to tinker around with cars, get into a garage-type business. Don't have a gas station.
Sonia,
just do repairs.
I think you're a marvelous lady, but you are the weakest link. Goodbye. Because
isn't that funny? Isn't that funny?
Well, anyway, at least you're not glaring at me.
Well,
but,
I think she's a charming lady. I think she's got a good point.
Well, she's got a fantastic point. You have to understand that these are customers, and it's part of the business. And you know,
absolutely,
one of the reasons you're a part owner, man. You teach school during the year, and you are a football coach. During the summer months, you're helping your brother out, right?
Okay, that's true.
All right, maybe you could ask your brother not to send you into the toilet to pull the maxi pads out. Maybe he should hire somebody to do it.
No, he sends me.
He
sends me.
All right, so your anger is misplaced. You should be angry at your brother-in-law.
My brother-in-law lost his legs in Vietnam. So he...
All right, so he doesn't... What, is he in a wheelchair?
He's on a pallet board.
He's on a pallet board?
Yes, sir.
Rolling himself around the gas station on a pallet board?
Yes. Now, do you want him to climb up and scrub a toilet?
Am I still...
Yes, Sonia, go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, no, but Vern, you hire someone else to do it. You know, a lot of the big stores and small places, they still have people that come in to specifically do that the owners don't have to do that because it's not a pleasant part of the business. But in every shop or store or garage or whatever that has, you know, a bathroom... or a coffee station, it's the same. It's going to happen. You know it's going to happen, so you prepare for it.
You know, you sound... are you from... Where'd you say?
England.
Are you married?
All right, never mind. Never mind.
No, I'm just wondering, is the lady married?
Yes, I am.
You are? All right. Well, I live in Los Angeles, California. If you're ever out this way, maybe you'd like to come in and plunge a toilet with me. I don't know.
Okay. Sonia, thank you for your call.
Thank you. And just my final note is, it sounds
sure
like he really has a lot of anger and everything.
I do.
He probably could do well with going to some therapy.
I'm sure you keep a real clean loo.
Yeah,
in
you,
actual
you,
fact,
you,
I
really,
do, but I think you might benefit from actually going to see someone who can help you with this anger that you're
so
feeling.
So all of a sudden now I'm mentally disturbed because I don't want people showing
maxi pads out of
the toilet.
You just seem to have a lot of anger, and I could hear in your voice that you were getting more stress.
I could too, yeah.
Also, your language was not nice.
What language
and
did I use?
I think you need to maybe talk to someone about it, or you may consider getting out the business.
Ma'am,
or having someone come in to do the unpleasant part of the business.
Ma'am, I'm not a Springer Spaniel, all right? What are you doing? You're trying to get me to sit? All I'm saying...
All right. Thank you very much, Sonia.
Thank you.
What is the...
All right, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. Mr. Vernon Dozier on the line with me. He is a service station owner. The price of gasoline is up to $2 a gallon. He says that he's jacked the price at his station because he's tired of people coming in, not flushing toilets, leaving the bathroom looking like crap, 6 pounds of nacho cheese for 4 chips, spilling the cappuccino everywhere, taking the Kit Kat bars and moving them over to the Heath bars, etc., etc. And he says it's time for service station owners to fight back and raise the price of gasoline until people, customers, act like human beings. And this, with the possibility of a war with Iraq and even higher gasoline prices. This is The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. You need a checkup from the neck up. Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
I won't put up with it.
Mr. Dozier, Vernon Dozier with us. Mr. Dozier, you are a high school football coach. You're a math teacher. You own part of a service station because you can do that during the summer months. Your attitude about your customers being so filthy in the bathroom that that's why you jack the price of gas is only going to make you angrier, and you're going to... How much does a gallon of gas cost right now at your service station?
You know, let me explain something, Mr. Eddie.
How much does a gallon of gas cost now?
It costs $4.50. Let me explain something.
$4.50?
Let me explain, okay? The pigs that come in here, and I mean they come through here like it's rawhide, the animals mooing and bleating as they come through here, crapping all over the bathroom floor, pumping 12 pounds of cheese onto one nacho chip, using 5 cream packs, son of a...
$4.50.
That's GD right.
Why?
Because that's how filthy they are, so I kept jacking the price. I get $4.50 for a gallon of gas.
How many customers do you have?
I don't have any, but that's the principle.
See, that's the...
No. That's the principle of the matter is I raise the price, and I feel good.
You feel good. You got no customers, nobody buying your gas. It's $4.50 a gallon.
That's right.
And no one's buying it.
Not lately, though.
When did they buy it last?
When it was $2.
Good luck.
Thank you.
1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
So, Mr. Bella, tell me about him.
I do have a friend, Phil, who was recently arrested in Jacksonville, Florida.
When?
It was about a week ago. His name is Jerry Bella. He is an exemplary citizen. I want to say up front that Jerry has 2 young sons. He is a member of a number of philanthropic organizations in the Jacksonville area. He's coached 2 youth soccer teams. He was active among the retard community, or the mentally retarded community. He was an elder in his church. He and his wife have been married for 16 years.
But what was this man arrested for?
30 years ago, he made a mistake. And he made a bad mistake. But this is what I was saying to you about John Walsh and all these do-gooders. They get their TV shows, and they want to dig through the mud, and they want to dig through the garbage. And occasionally, they hurt a good man. So they can be big heroes.
Well, what did this man, Mr. Bella, what was he arrested for?
He committed a crime, sir.
Well, what kind of a crime?
It was a felony. And I don't think it matters when a man has rebuilt his life. He has spent 30 years rebuilding his life. And for the cops to come back 30 years later, it's not fair. Look at a lot of these gangbangers and a lot of the... some of these minority gangs...
Well, without this turning into a racial diatribe, sir, I want to know... What was it that your friend Mr. Bella did that the police looked him up after 30 years?
They claim, and again, this is their claim, that he, and remember this was when he was 23 years of age, sir, that he raped and murdered 2 teenage girls over near Sundry Dam. Now, that's what they claim.
Jesus.
Now, I'm going to ask you a question. By all accounts, these 2 young ladies, and it was a tragedy, and I want you to know this, Mr. Hendry.
All right, I'm listening to you.
By all accounts, though, these 2 young ladies were not very good students. They were not particularly adept at schoolwork. They were not very aggressive people. Apparently, they were a lot of trouble to their parents. I want to ask you a question. If they had lived...
I'm listening, sir.
Would they have turned out to be as good a people as Jerry Bella, who has... taken 3 youth soccer teams to the national titles? When you look at the United States...
All right, now, did John Walsh have something to do with finding your friend? Is that the problem? Because you've mentioned him twice.
No, I'm simply saying John Walsh and all of the do-gooders that want to be heroes, they all run around digging through the muck. And they try to string a guy up by his manhood, and why? So they can get glory. And when there's these gangbangers, and a lot of them are blacks and Mexicans.
But we're talking about raping and murdering two teenage girls. Apparently, to the police report, this murder of these two girls, these murders took place over a 30-day period, which means these girls were tortured and murdered for 30 days.
Yes, we are, sir. And I'm not denying that that's what the police claim. I'm asking you again.
So your claim is this man turned his life around in the 30 years since?
Yes, I am. And I think you've got to look at that. I think it would not be Christian, and I think it would not be American if we at least didn't look at what a man's been able to do.
Well, you know, 3 decades ago, maybe, but it is a horrific crime.
Again, let me ask you this question. By all accounts, these two young ladies...
What were their names?
I'm sorry?
What were the names of the two women, the two girls that died?
I don't have that information.
Okay.
But by all accounts, from what I'm getting, they were not very good students. They were difficult at home. A couple of them had been, one of them had been arrested earlier for shoplifting and these kinds of things. Can you look me in the eye and honestly say these girls would have grown up to be as good a people as Jerry Bella did become, yes, after he committed the murders and rape, but still, he did become that person? And I'd like to point out one other thing, Phil. One of the girls that was murdered, allegedly by Jerry, had an abortion. And I think we need to take that into consideration.
All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686. Robert Green is a local businessman. A friend of his, Jerry Bella, picked up in Jacksonville, Florida a week ago for a 30-year-old crime, a double homicide and double rape. The family has rallied around?
Yes, they have. His wife has been out here, and his family, and testimony from neighbors, testimony from friends. He is an outstanding individual in every way, shape, and form. Again, 3 national junior soccer championships. What he did with those kids is amazing. And I think we have to look at also what he's done as a church elder.
He's a church elder?
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. And one of the jobs he has as a church elder is to cut up the communion bread. And if you are familiar with communion bread, you know that that's the body of Christ. So he is entrusted with the body of Christ. And I think that needs to be taken into consideration.
Can I ask you, Mr. Green, what your particular interest in this story is? Because you...
The man was a friend of mine.
No, I know he's a friend of yours, but you've talked to about 2 or 3 radio stations.
Well, I'll tell you a story.
Well, tell me, what is your interest in this?
I'll tell you a story. This man, I saw him help another man one night. I saw Jerry help a guy that got himself into trouble with a prostitute. And again, it's not a very savory story.
I want to know, why are you supporting this man?
Because he's helped...
Besides the life he's had in the last 30 years.
Jerry had helped out a man one night. This guy had beaten up a prostitute. He'd cut her face up pretty good with a straight razor. But with Jerry's friendship, this guy was able to clean up the scene, and they drove this hooker back to another town. He helped the guy. Now, I'm not saying what the guy did to the prostitute is good or right or noble or moral. But with Jerry, friendship counts.
He cut her face up.
Yes, sir, he did. But
why would you help out an animal like that?
Because they were fraternity brothers, and it was an oath, and it was Jerry's oath. 2 frat brothers sticking together. I admire that, and that's what I hate. That's why I hate what they're doing to him.
Your admiration for this man stems from the fact that he helped out a fraternity brother cover up, beating up, and cutting up a prostitute.
Again, please hear what I'm saying.
I'm trying to hear you, sir.
I'm saying that with Jerry, friendship counts. And again, you have to know this man, Phil. He's a remarkable man.
I'd like to get to know him. I'd like to talk to him. I'd like to know how it is a man goes from murdering and raping 2 teenage girls to becoming a church deacon and becoming a... I'd like to know how it happens. And I'd like to know how you feel he doesn't have to go through the punishment.
I mentioned, again... these 2 teenage girls...
Well, you mentioned the 2 teenage girls. One of them had an abortion, and the other one was... they were runaways or something?
They were apparently very difficult at home. One of them had been picked up for shoplifting. These were not the greatest girls in the world. Let's be clear. Jerry went on to coach 3...
I know. Junior soccer championship teams. I know. And he's a church elder.
He's a member of a great many... And he's a father and a great husband and a loyal husband. And you got a lot of guys out there, and they will pick up anything that walks, and they'll sleep with anything, whether it's got two legs or four. And here's a man who's stuck with his wife, loves his family. Jerry Bella, that's what we're asking for. It's just a fair shake for this guy.
And you don't think being on the lam for 30 years, living the life that he lived, finally getting caught up to by the police, is a fair shake?
I think taking that man away from the community of people that that love him, no, I don't think it is.
All right, Bob, our number 1-800-449-8686. Lorena, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Robert Green.
Okay, if this man at 23 was a jerk enough and a horrible person enough to cause the pain that he did to those two young girls, how do you know that those two young girls wouldn't have turned into some wonderful, intelligent women by now?
Well, this is a very good point. I'm asking the question, when you look at Jerry's life, a church deacon, coach of three national soccer junior
teams. I understand the point of being a good Christian and forgiving things, but God also feels that you should also pay for what you've done.
And one of these girls had a... What is your name, dear? I'm sorry.
Lorena.
One of the girls had an abortion, I'm very sorry to say.
How do you know she didn't ask for forgiveness? If you're a Christian, then you believe that God forgives everything.
Well, I'm not really judging it from a Christianity standpoint. I'm judging it from a standpoint of...
Well, you keep making a point that whether or not it's Christian...
It's messed up.
...that he gets taken away from his life now after he's built it up after all these years. I figured Christianity would be one of your...
I don't know anything about it. I'm just saying I think it's messed up to kill a kid what's, you know, not born yet. Now, let me remind you that this was 30 years ago. A girl
that's
getting
fine,
a
but how do you know that those two women wouldn't be
the
very
word
successful?
Is, the word that we got was they were on their way to no good. They were trouble at home.
I, at one point, was on my way
drugs.
To no good, and I now am a very successful and intelligent
All right,
person.
Then I could ask you this question. Can you prove that these two girls would have turned out to be better people than Jerry Bella? No, you can't.
No, but you can't
there
prove
you go.
Otherwise.
I've got Jerry's life.
But you don't have the lives of these two other girls.
I do know what they were into. And it was
How
not
old
very
were
savory.
They when they were into these things?
When they were murdered, they were 17. So
okay.
You're talking about a girl
at
who had an
17.
Abortion at 16.
Jesus,
at 17,
17,
you don't even know where you're standing at 17.
Absolutely. That's exactly right. That's why I hate to see them do this to Jerry.
Well, he was 23. He was
23.
An adult.
He had good judgment at that time. He was a big boy. Big
wait a minute.
Boy
wait, people know what
that he can hold them for 30 days, murder them, and rape them and murder them, and that he was doing wrong. I learned wrong and right at 5 years old.
Who among us had their act together when they were 23? I asked you.
I wasn't out.
22, and I have my act together.
I'll tell you, when I was 23, I wasn't out raping and murdering.
I am 22,
you know,
and I have
a
very successful career, and I'm educated.
Well,
at 22,
if you say
I know
so.
What I'm doing.
Can I ask you a question, ma'am? So at 22, you don't occasionally hit the bars and go home with somebody whose last name you may
know? No, I don't. I'm a very happily married woman to a man who's in the service.
Yeah, okay.
Wait a minute. The lady...
All right, I got to believe her. She says it, she says it.
Well, I believe her.
He's in Iraq right now.
I beg your pardon? Your husband?
He's in Iraq.
Oh, get a load of this. Now, he's overseas, and you're here, and you're getting me... Oh, come on.
Come
what?
On what?
He's over there serving his country. I'm a very decent person. I have no reason to cheat on my husband.
All right. Listen, Lorena, I appreciate your call. I think you made some very good points.
I don't think she made any good points.
I think she made some very good points. 1-800-449-8686. Even if a man builds 30 years of a constructive, perfect life... Do you forgive him for a double homicide, rape, and torture of two teenage girls? This man, Mr. Green, is speaking on behalf of a friend of his, Jerry Bella, who was picked up for such a crime in Jacksonville, Florida, a week ago. The family's out here. Friends are out here. They want the man released. Because his point is, would these girls, had they lived, be half the people Jerry became? A church deacon and the coach of some youth soccer teams. 1-800-449-8686. Now, Janice, you're working on trying to get one of the attorneys involved in this case. I'd like to talk to him as well. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686, The World Famous Phil Hendry Show. Henry, 1-800-449-8686.
And I'm told we'll have the attorney, your attorney, Mr. Green, or Mr. Bella's attorney?
No, this is Mr. Bella's attorney who will be working the case as a consultant.
I'm told we will have him on at the bottom of the hour.
Yes, sir, and I think you will find that there is some precedent in law for the actions of a victim being taken into consideration. When you're talking about two young ladies who, at the age of 17, already had an abortion, one of them had, you know, I don't want to say anything, but she'd been with enough men to, I just don't want to say anything.
Well, you're characterizing these girls in not a very flattering way, even though the two of them died horribly, allegedly, at the hands of your friend. 1-800-449...
Well, you say the word friend as if that's a bad thing, sir.
No, it's not, but I say the word friend the way I say the word friend. 1-800-449-8686. This is Melissa on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead.
Oh, hi. Mr.
Hi.
Green.
Yes.
My question to you is, perhaps one of the girls that had the abortion was raped by someone like your friend. Maybe that's how
perhaps,
she ended up pregnant.
Perhaps. Perhaps if I had wheels and pedals, I'd be a bicycle. I don't know what the point of your call
well,
is.
I guess my point is, I'm wondering if he would be so quick to justify his actions if these girls were honor students on their way to college.
Well, I'm not here to engage in a hypothesis. I'm here to engage in reality and facts. But you understand my point.
No, I don't. You're hypothesizing all over the place about what would these girls have been. Well, unfortunately, their families will never know.
One of them went to Mexico for an abortion, which is not good. It's, you're killing
a
kid.
Are you a Christian man, sir?
I'm sorry?
Are you a Christian man?
I've been to a church, and I think it's something that is, a lot of people do it.
Okay, well, that's my answer, because I don't know any Christian in their right mind that could stand up and defend this man. If he had paid his price to society and done his time and turned his life around, sir,
you know the money that
then
he has
I would
raised
be willing
for the retards of this community and for the...
You know, one other thing, Mr. Green, that I think is indicative of your mindset...
Retards is such a terrible word,
you keep
sir.
Using the word retard.
Forgive me, I'm sorry. I'm not an educated man. I'm a businessman who's worked
his
way up.
Thank God there wasn't some woman murderer running around, because you're not an educated man. Perhaps they would
murder you. I'm saying that Mr. Bella has worked with the people that are mentally ill, and he's done so many wonderful things for his church. He's a deacon, and he's in charge of the communion that is the body of Jesus.
Body of Christ, I know.
That's
coming
what they
from
say.
You, a non-Christian.
I'm just quoting what they tell me.
If he had the things between his legs that you say they're trying to hang him by, then he would do his time, apologize to these families, and move on and go back to his wonderful life.
Well, what good would that do?
It would be good because in this society we have a system that you pay for what you've done.
If all he had to do was apologize to these families and not go to prison, would he do that?
If we could get some guarantee on that, yeah.
So it's not about him being right and about turning his life around. It's about him being too much of a pussy to go to jail. Maybe
he's supposed to leave his wife and kids and go to jail.
Well, he left
his wife. I wonder if his wife and kids will still be there when they find out what he's done.
Mr. Bella worked in a homeless soup kitchen. Do you know how many
Mr. Bella.
Do you know how many homeless people's lives he saved?
What did Mr. Bella do between 17 and 25 when he murdered these girls, sir?
I'm sorry?
What did he do between 17 and 25 when he murdered these girls?
I don't know. I don't have the file on
it
here.
Okay, so he never redeemed himself until after he murdered them.
Look, after 30 years, the parents of these girls have moved on. To apologize will just bring back memories.
Well, the police report here says that at the age of 20 and 21, he was a blackjack dealer.
That's correct, yeah.
Oh.
Well, what's wrong with that?
He was a blackjack dealer in a variety of casinos in the Reno and Tahoe area.
Yeah?
So if you're not a Christian, you better become one quick, because you need to go and get yourself from forgiveness, or you'll be going to hell along with Jerry. That's all I have to say. Thank
Jerry's
you for
going
your
to help
time.
Because he deals blackjack. Great. Sorry,
Thank you.
I'm sorry you don't know how to play blackjack.
What's that supposed to mean?
Because she probably got stiffed at some casino. So all of a sudden, the guy that deals blackjack, and deals it well, by the way, because I see this guy work a 52-card deck, none of this three-deck shoe stuff, and
I don't care what he did. We're talking about a murder that he allegedly committed. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Here's Mike. Mike, go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I just would like to know how this gentleman can condemn a girl for having an abortion and condone his buddy for murdering two women. Where did one life become worth more than the other?
Well, I just said the two girls, one of them had had an abortion and the other one was shoplifting. The fetus, it's never been to jail for anything.
I don't know what you think is so funny about that.
What's so funny about that?
It didn't have a chance. And
yeah,
neither did
exactly.
those girls.
It didn't have a chance.
Neither did those girls.
Neither did those two girls.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, if you call shoplifting, having an abortion, and
so are we going to kill everybody that shoplifts now?
One of them was on pet pills.
We going to kill everybody that shoplifts now?
Sir, one of them was taking pet pills.
So what?
Pet pills.
So what? Lots of people drink, do drugs. We're going to kill
right.
them all?
Hold on, Mike. That's a good point. 1-800-449-8686. Should a man, even if he's lived 30 years of his life as an exemplary citizen, be forgiven for a double homicide and torture of two girls? 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Out of bounds. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I got Harvey Wireman as the attorney representing Mr. Bella. Or you're one of the attorneys, right, Mr. Wireman?
That is correct, yes, sir.
And Mr. Green, you're there?
Yes, I am.
Mr. Green, did the police visit you to find out about Jerry Bella and his whereabouts?
I had a visit from two detectives, yes.
In your grocery store?
Yes.
And am I given to believe that you led them to Mr. Bella's whereabouts in Jacksonville?
I will answer that, Mr. Henry.
Go ahead.
Mr. Green cooperated fully with law enforcement at that time and did give them information about Mr. Bella, yes, sir.
So he knew where Mr. Bella was for 30 years?
No, he did not.
He knew where Mr. Bella was for a period of time?
Yes, he did.
And at that time, he told the police?
Yes, he did, voluntarily.
Voluntarily? Okay.
Yes, he did. Mr. Green is a good citizen, and he came forward and told them what he knew. The police...
Is Mr. Green, sir, Mr. Green, are you involved in this in any way?
I most certainly am not.
I'll answer that. Mr. Green was found to have been in possession of some evidence, which he immediately turned over to the police.
What evidence?
Can I...
Go ahead.
They were some undergarments that had been given to me by Jerry Bella.
Undergarments?
Yes.
What kind?
They were a pair of girls' panties.
You had these in your possession?
Excuse me, Mr. Henry, my client is not the one who's been charged with this murder.
No, I know that. I just want to know how he came to have a pair of panties. Did the police find these?
Yes, they did.
Where did you have them, Mr. Bella?
I was told to keep them in a plastic bag.
By who? And you're Mr. Green, I'm sorry, not Mr. Bella, right?
Yes.
Forgive me.
I was told to keep them in a plastic bag by Jerry Bella.
You had them in a plastic bag. Whereabouts?
They were in his icebox, in his refrigerator.
Again, I want to say I am not the one under indictment here.
I recognize that. 1-800...
And we also want to point out that Jerry Bella has been an exemplary man. His win-loss record of his soccer teams is impressive.
No, your client, Mr. Green, had a pair of one of these girls' underwear in a plastic bag in his refrigerator.
So now you're going to make a big deal out of that?
Yes, we are making a big deal out of that. I want to know how your client came into possession of those.
He is not under indictment, sir.
1-800-449-8686. Here is Helen. Go ahead, Helen. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Helen?
Yes?
Go ahead, dear. You're on the air.
I'm on?
I had the panties sandwiched between two... frozen dinners in the icebox.
Go ahead, Helen. You're on.
Okay. This is what I think. You have to have a judge and a jury. And this man has to come before them because he has killed two people. It doesn't matter what they did or whatever.
Well,
he killed two people, and it should be judge and jury.
He's been a good guy for 30 years.
I understand that. I realize what you're saying, but he still committed a crime, regardless if it's 50 years ago or it was yesterday. He committed a crime.
Okay, so he committed a crime. So what's people...
I want it to come up before a judge and a jury.
People commit crimes every day.
That's not for us to decide.
Well, this is a great guy, Mr. Bella, and again, he's very loyal to people. And so I
understand everything. I understand it all.
You understand?
But he still committed a crime, and he killed two young people, whatever they did wrong.
Helen, you remember, Helen, this is Harvey Wireman, but you remember the 70s. It was a time of a lot of wacky stuff. How are you going to break a guy's castanets now or for something he did then?
This is more than breaking some guy's balls. This is about
a
double homicide. It was a rape. It was torture. It was a 30 days worth of torture.
That's
right. Okay. Your point is what?
My point?
He was supposed to come between judge and jury.
But
and
I
want to
be clear. I did not put the underwear in the plastic bag. He did. He asked me to put it in my refrigerator.
Why?
Do I answer that?
Please answer it, yes.
I should answer that. He went and he put it in the refrigerator.
Yes.
He committed a crime?
Well,
he put it in the refrigerator?
He gave me the girl's underwear in a plastic bag to put in the refrigerator.
Please.
Well, I don't know what's
you're not making sense.
The point is that this guy, Bella, is one of these sickies who wanted to keep it fresh.
You're right.
See what
I'm
saying?
Whatever it is, this man should go to prison until they judge him. And that's all I could tell you.
Well, ma'am, I don't want to say anything, but you might be watching too much Law and Order. You think you're some kind of a DA or something.
I'm not a DA. I was told to hold on until they called my name.
Yes, well, we thank you, Helen.
And they called my name.
Called your name,
and I'm talking the way I think.
All right,
nobody's
Helen.
Telling me what to do.
Helen, you're
but
on the air.
You are the one that's on.
Helen,
you know
ahead.
Something? You better have your head examined.
Helen, go ahead. You're on the air.
Pardon me?
I said you're on the air. Go ahead.
I said what I said. It's
well,
got to come up between a judge
you weren't
and
on the air when you said it. You have to say it now. You're on the air.
I've said it, and I've repeated it.
You're on the air. Go
he
ahead.
Is...
Will you guys quit screwing around?
Please, there's too much talking, and I'm telling you in plain English.
I will say this, ma'am, about Jerry Bella. He suffered already keeping inside what he kept inside for all these years.
Well, he should not have done it. He committed a crime.
You're on the air.
And he has to be paid for it the way the judge and a jury will decide.
Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Okay. I'm hanging up.
You're on the air, Helen. Go right ahead.
Are you guys screwing around? You got a guy out there who's in the joint. He's going to be going to prison.
But you're making me repeat it so many times.
Well, you've got to repeat it. You weren't on the air.
Yes, you were on the air.
No, she wasn't.
I was on the air.
Never mind,
Helen. You told me.
I didn't tell you that.
Well, somebody did.
I did.
All right, Helen.
I'm on the air?
I think you're on the air now.
Go ahead. You're on the air.
Okay.
Your caller,
this man committed a crime.
What's your name, dear?
Helen Browner.
All right, and you're the winner of a Phil Hendry Show CD. Now, what's your opinion?
You're asking me too many questions, and I'm a little too old, and I'm just telling you what I think.
Your
and
last name is Browner.
Committed a crime, and he's got to come between us before
right,
a judge and a jury.
Helen,
that's
I wanna,
it.
All right, Helen, let me spell your last name. B-R-O-W-N-E-Y-E, correct?
No, B-R-O-W-N-E-R.
E-Y-E? Oh, I thought you said it was Brown Eye.
Browner, B-R-A.
Browner.
You're getting me all famished already. Browner, B-R-O-W-N-E-R.
All right, so your name is Melon Brownie. Is that right, dear?
All right, I can't talk. It's too much for me.
Right,
I'm not
well,
a youngster.
So it's
but this
Melon
is what
Brownie.
I feel, and I thank you very much.
Thank you, Helen. And
we want to put you on the air. Are you willing to go on
bye
the air?
Bye-bye.
You know, I'm going to tell both of you guys something.
What?
What?
You are talking about a guy who's in the joint who's ready to go up and fry for a double homicide, rape, torture, the whole thing.
Yes, sir.
And you guys are on here screwing around with one of my callers. Hi, you're on the air. Helen Browneye. You really care about this guy, don't you?
Well, I'll tell you right now, Mr. Henry, this man's a friend of mine. I won't have you talk to me that way.
You're here trying to talk about him, but when I get some caller on the air, it's, what's your name, Helen Browneye? Caller, you're on the air. What's that about?
We're trying to relieve some of the pressure.
Try to have a couple of laughs, that's all.
On my show?
Why not? Where else? What do you suggest I do it?
Well, not on my radio show you don't do it. What are you guys, a couple of jokers?
Get a load of him. All I said was Helen Browneye, and I thought that was funny.
I've listened to your program before, Mr. Henry. I think it's a lot funnier than a lot of stuff you do.
Are you here to talk about Jerry Bella or to get off cuties about Melon Brownie or Helen Brown Eye?
Look, I'm an attorney. I'm here to talk about the case, but I'm not going to be spoken to as if I'm a piece of garbage, nor will I allow my client to be spoken to.
Well, I'm not going to have you guys talk to my callers like they're idiots.
I'm having a couple of laughs. You want to break my castanets on that?
Look it. No laughs, no laughs, no laughs. We're doing this show the way I say we do this show.
Look, Mr. Henry,
we're doing the show the way I say it.
Can I say one thing?
Go ahead.
I do some amateur stand-up. I'll be at Pinky's on Main Friday at 7, if anybody, excuse me, if anybody wants to see it.
You really care about this Jerry Bella, don't you?
He does, but...
Would you let him answer?
I'm his attorney. He does, but he wanted to get in the plug for his act. Mr. Henry, you are on the air. Go ahead.
I know I'm on the air. We are talking with Robert Greene. He is a grocery store owner of Buena Park, California. In 1973, Jerry Bella allegedly tortured, then raped, then murdered two teenage girls. He was never caught for the crime until 1 week ago in Jacksonville, Florida. He has been arrested, he has been extradited, and there are those who would like the man set free because he is an exemplary human being. In the last 30 years, he's been a church deacon, the coach of soccer teams, a business owner, a man who helps the mentally challenged, a man who many people say is a great individual. And one of the opinions expressed here was, what is that life compared to the two girls? Would they have been as good? Is that your point, Mr. Green?
What'd you say?
I said, is that your point?
Yes, it is. Hey, is that frozen underwear? Are you just happy to see me?
All right. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Communist influenced.
...1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Henry Show.
...1-800-449-8686. We have on the line here Harvey Wireman, who is an attorney for Jerry... Mr. Bella or Mr. Green?
I'm Mr. Green's attorney.
Mr. Green, you're there.
Yeah, I'm here. I've been here the last 50 minutes. And I've been trying to get out the story of Jerry Bella... And what a wonderful man he is.
You've gotten out a lot about Jerry Bella. You've gotten out an awful lot that has been derogatory and degenerative of the two young ladies that Mr. Bella is alleged to have murdered.
I'm simply trying to make the case that Mr. Bella cannot be held responsible for acts that he committed while under the influence of recreational drugs at a time in the history of this country when recreational drug use was not only approved of, but was engaged in by members of Congress. And I think that that's a point to be made.
All right, let me go over here to Liz. Liz, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, Liz, go ahead.
Hi. I'm calling to make a comment to these two gentlemen. First of all, I felt it was extremely disrespectful to not allow the obviously elderly lady who called and was trying to make a valid and concise point regarding the situation.
Well, we were having some fun.
Well, you know...
Yeah, you know, exactly.
The reason this is tough for me to try to comprehend why you as an attorney is trying to have, quote, fun on this matter when this matter is an extremely serious situation. You have two young ladies that obviously had a bit of a checkered past. But also, it's a proven fact that a lot of young people can make mistakes and turn out to be respectable adults.
Right. Now, this is Liz. This is Phil Henry. And you're saying this in response to your claim, Mr. Wireman and Mr. Green, that these two young ladies would have grown up to be bad people somehow, and so therefore they're almost worthy of their death.
Now, wait a minute. I didn't say that.
Well, that's what you're intimating, and Mr. Bella's life has turned out so well that he is worthy of life.
Mr. Henry, I resent you putting words like that into my mouth. Now, as I said, the 70s were a goofy time. We all enjoyed hot tubbing, red wine parties. If you wore thigh-high boots and a skirt in the 70s, Let me tell you what, you were a hooker.
Well, you know what, sir? I am a product of the 70s. I was born in 1954. I was not a hooker in the 70s. I did not participate in illicit sex and orgies and running around and doing the things that you're implying that everybody did in the 70s. Well, you know what? I just would like to say one thing.
You know what I'm talking about, though, don't you?
I know, but can you kind of be respectful for a moment? I was kind of quiet to allow you to speak, and I like to speak.
Well, you're breaking our balls over here.
Would you watch your language, please?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Everything that you have come, that you have, the points that you're trying to make, if in fact you are trying to, quote, win people over, you're not going to win people over with the way you have been attacking a lot of the callers. Now, I'd like to ask you the same question about three callers, because I just walked in. I've been in my car listening to this station.
Did you want to go on the air with your comment?
All right, if you quit screwing around, you're on the air, Liz.
I know I am. My comment is as follows. A lady asked you, sir, not the attorney,
yes,
that if you were a Christian. You never gave her an answer, but I like to say this. This gentleman turned out to be a pillar of the community. He turned out to be a deacon. He's helped a variety of people. I'm not taking anything of that away. But if, in fact, you stand before God and you display that you are a person of who believes and has faith,
what?
The first thing he should have said was, you know what, I'm going to tell you what I did 30 years ago. And though it was a horrible, horrific mistake, for choice of a better word, I want to atone for that. But you know what he did? He ran and he hid like a coward.
Right.
He went as far as putting, like your person on the phone, putting panties in a plastic bag and you holding them. I mean, how sick is that?
I was doing him a favor. He wanted me to hold these panties.
Well, you know what?
That is like mental.
Exactly. I agree with you.
You're calling me mental?
Yes, I think
that it's mental.
You're accessory to some guy's sick fetish after a horrible murder?
Could I be excused for a moment, Ms. Henry?
Go ahead. Yes, sir.
And, you know, I was going to, the comment I was also going to finish with, well, you know, infantile behavior.
You know something? Both of you guys, I hope Mr. Bella fries.
I'm with you, Phil.
I hope he fries. I hope they drop a pill on him. I hope he goes down for the count. Because both of you guys, you know.
Hey, Joe, say that again. You weren't on the air.
All right, both of you, go to hell.
I ditto that.
Sorry about that, Liz.
Hey, don't apologize to me. I'm a big girl.
All right.
Have a great night.
Bye-bye. By the way, that was me doing the voice of both Bob Green and Harvey Weinman. All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Now, let me tell you all about, if you want to know more about our show, The Phil Henry Show, our website. I can't do enough to promote our website because there is so much to do there, so much fun to be had. We have games. We have movies. We have all of our audio archives. We have all of the last 30 shows archived there. We have all of our long-form and our short-form audio archives. We have, what else do we have? We have our souvenir shop where you can pick up a brand new piece of merchandise, by the way, which is our official Western Estates Homeowners Association Country Club polo shirt. We got all of our best of CDs that go back many, many years. Go back at least to 1997, the last six CDs. We have a lot of stuff in there. So if you'd like, go to our website, philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. Now, you need a backstage pass to get the audio, and the backstage pass is only $6.95. So, and that's a self-renewing thing. And, I mean, that's the price of a pack of smokes. Give up smoking. Check out our website. Also, you can call our hotline for the CD, 877-616-PHIL, 877-616-7445. You're listening to The Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686, Whitney Houston's dealer.